joining us right now. Guy does a great job on FS1. He's got a radio show called The Odd Couple, which is weeknights at 7 o'clock. And you can also see him on various FS1 shows like Undisputed and The Herd. And that is the great Chris Broussard of FS1. Chris, Joe, and Evan.
Chris, how are you, man?
I'm great, guys. How are you? Always good to be on with you.
Appreciate it. All right, let's start with the whole Durant injury thing. How does this affect the free agency now coming up in the NBA?
I mean, this is huge. It's huge for everybody. Obviously, the first thing team you think of after Golden State is the Knicks.
Right, right.
And now, look, nothing's written in stone. We'll see what happens. But right now, it looks like Kyrie is out. Like, he's all in on Brooklyn. That's what you're starting to hear around the league. Obviously, there have been reports about that. I know Kyrie grew up in the same town I've lived in West Orange. And he grew up a Nets fan. So right now, it looks like he may be there when everybody's been thinking KD and Kyrie to the Knicks. Now, the first question for the Knicks with KD is, does he become a free agent? Because remember, he had the option. So he could, with him likely out for next season because we think there's going to be a torn Achilles. He could just opt into his contract, stay in Golden State one more year. He's due like $32 million, and then become a free agent in 2020 and get a big, you know, get the big deal then, rather than starting that deal now. And ultimately, it would be less money over the 4 years, 4 or 5 years. So he may not even be on the market anymore. But if he is, I still think teams are going to pony up and offer him the full max 4 years, $140 million. Look, we know what an Achilles is. The only guy you can really point to who's come back from that to kind of reach his pre-injury stature is Dominique Wilkins. And that's a good one to look at. You know, he was an athletic player, and he resumed that after his injury. The thing about KD is this. His build, you know, you see big guys have trouble returning from this, but those are typically heavy guys. Durant's build would make you think, okay, it's not going to destroy him because he's a thin guy and all that. And then his game, that jump shot, that release from 7 feet in the air, which nobody can block, that's not going to go away with this Achilles injury. So I think he still will be able to come back and be incredibly effective after he returns from the injury. So I think, and I think a lot of people around the league feel the same way. So that's why they'll pony up the max deal for him. But as you guys know, if he were, let's say he comes to the Knicks, let's say they offer him the max, it would just be so in line with the history.
Are you kidding me?
Right?
Oh, my God.
I mean, you get Chris, these big please. Game players, and they get them past their prime. So hopefully that doesn't happen if KD goes.
Let me just say this, because I don't know if you know where I stand on this. I was already shaky with Durant coming to the Knicks. I'm scared.
Even before.
Oh yeah, of course.
Injury?
Yeah, because this
now,
guy.
You mean shaky in that you didn't think he was coming, or you don't know that you want him?
I don't know that I want him because he's 31 years old. Okay, he's a guy that's very sensitive. He's going to have tremendous pressure here in New York. And here's the other thing. This is me as a Knicks fan. You know, I go back to Richie Guerin and Willie Knowles. I mean, I'm 100 years old, Chris.
Right.
You know the deal, okay? Here's the thing. If this guy comes here, relevance isn't enough. And you get a guy like Kevin Durant, I want to win a championship. I mean, it's only been since 1973. You know, I don't want the Ewing. I don't want the Ewing years again. Where you know, with one brutal playoff loss after another. Who wants that? I want a championship.
Several things to say to that. Number one, I get you. You don't want the Ewing years again. But however, wouldn't you take that over what you've had for what, the last 15, 20 years?
But Chris, but when did they win it all, Chris?
No, I get it. But I'm just saying, like, I think Knicks fans would die for the Ewing era compared to what you've had. You're not even relevant. And so, but I feel you on that. That's number one. Number two, and KD obviously is very sensitive. And KD by himself, yeah, he'll make you good, but he's going to need a second guy.
Sure, of
course.
There's
no question about it. And I think it's a legitimate question as to whether or not, even with a second guy, that KD can lead a team to a championship. Because, look, and he's great. He's arguably the best player in the world. But there's still that question because, let's face it, he wasn't playing with scrubs in Oklahoma City.
I mean, you had Russell Westbrook, James Harden, Steven Adams.
Yep.
You know?
Yep.
Like, and you had this Warriors team down 3-1.
Yep.
And you couldn't. So he may be one of those guys that's an awesome, all-time great player, but doesn't have the makeup to lead a team to a championship. So that's fair. And we'll see. However, the one thing I will give Durant on this is, with all his sensitivity, he has never let it negatively impact his game. Like, all the tweeting, all the, you know, concerns about the burner accounts, all that. When he gets on the court, he delivers. My concern with him and his social media has been, does it really, like, ruin his life? Like, does he feel – can he be happy?
Right.
It's not on the court. So I think even if he goes to New York, look, he may have stints where he doesn't talk to the media, where he claps back and gets in arguments with the media, has social media episodes, all that. But he – on the court, he's still going to be able to give you 26, 27 points a night, you know, assuming the injury doesn't take away his skill. So – that's how I answer that concern. I would not have a concern before this injury because with his game, he should be able to age well.
Yeah, I think the only concern was, and I think that the Knicks would still sign him, and 98% of Knicks fans would still sign him, same thing with Net fans, I'm a Net fan, was, hey, on opening night, he's going to be 31. Who knows how he ages? But to your point, if teams are still willing to give him a max contract despite what the news is today, wouldn't it behoove him to opt out and take it? To actually take a max contract? And do you think all of the teams that were interested, the Knicks, the Nets, the Clippers, the Warriors themselves, do you think all of those teams would still give Kevin Durant a max contract no matter what the news is today about his Achilles?
Yeah, that's a good question. Let's go to the Clippers. Their first, you know, choice is Kawhi Leonard.
Sure.
And they have had their designs of getting both Kawhi and KD there. If they get Kawhi, I do think they would hold off on KD. Because, look, Kawhi is showing. He's doing it without any second star.
Right, yeah.
And so he goes to the Clippers. They're basically Toronto West as far as I'm concerned. So if I'm the Clippers, if I get Kawhi, I'm good right now. Golden State, that's a lot to think about because they can offer him 5 years, 220. So you're not even talking about the 4 years, 140 like other teams. They could offer him a lot more, and that's a lot to commit to a guy when, you know, you got to take care of Clay. Draymond's going to be coming up soon. So that'll be interesting, but I still would – now, that type of deal, you wonder. But I do think Golden State would bring him back. Brooklyn, it's interesting. But I've talking to a few executives. They have said, look, expect teams to still offer him the max. These specific teams, you know, you have to see what you have going. But look, to your point about the Nets, as great as Kyrie is, Kyrie by himself, you take a small step. You don't, you know, he's better than D'Angelo Russell, but him by himself isn't making you a contender in the East.
Talking to Chris Broussard, basketball with him. All right, the one guy, okay, as a Knicks fan, the only guy that I would throw big money at is Kawhi Leonard. That's it. There is nobody else at this point in time.
Well, now, right.
That's it.
Wow.
That's the only guy, Chris. And I'll tell you right now, I know I'm in the minority here. I want no part of Anthony. I'm not giving away everybody and their brother for Anthony Davis. I'm not doing that.
Well, let me ask you this.
Go ahead.
If you could get Kawhi as a free agent, you wouldn't then trade for an Anthony Davis?
I guess I'd have to think about it then. I guess that's a different story. But, I mean, give me Kawhi. Give me Kawhi.
AD,
give me Kawhi and let me go from there. Give me
AD
Kawhi.
AD by himself.
Yeah, he can't do it.
I mean, we see it in New Orleans. He can't do what Kawhi's doing. So
no way.
I'll give you that. Clay, he's not the number one guy.
Definitely not. Definitely not.
Kyrie, you know, not the number one guy.
No.
So I'm with you. And Jimmy Butler, you know,
no,
he's not
it's
that
Kawhi
guy.
Leonard. That's it, as far as I'm concerned.
KD and Kawhi were, yeah, I feel you on that. And from talking to the Knicks, I do believe that they will be smart. Like their whole thing, and they said this publicly as well. We're not going to just go out there and waste our money.
Right,
if we don't get one of these top guys, We're not just giving somebody $30 million just to say we got somebody. So we'll see if they can hold up to that, because if you don't get a free agent this summer, then think about it. I mean, now you're just – it's just all about rebuilding.
Yeah.
And you just – look, maybe R.J. Barrett will become a special player, and then you build around him. I would tend to lean that way. If I can't get KD or one or another star, I don't dislike what you said about not going for Anthony Davis. Maybe I just go with R.J. Barrett,
yeah.
You know, Mitchell Robinson.
Yeah, let's
promise.
See what happens.
You got cap room. Yeah, that gives it – you got cap room, you can make lopsided trades financially.
Yeah.
So maybe you can start to build around him, and you just hope Barrett becomes that guy, which is very possible.
You know, the one thing that we're seeing now, you know, for all the years, Kristen, you certainly know it, we watched the Knicks give away draft choice after draft choice. You know, every quick fix there was, the ridiculous yeah. Antonio McDyess trade, bringing in Stephon Marbury, you know, even Stoudemire, even Melo, giving away the store for Melo yeah. the way they did that. All of these things, you know, I can't, for once we're actually seeing them stockpile draft choices. When they made the Porzingis trade, they actually got draft choices instead of giving them away.
And, no, you're right.
And I don't want to see that. You know, and I do have, and this is crazy to say, but I do have, since Scott Perry got here, they have not done anything dumb since Perry took over. So I'm praying that's the case.
Right. And everybody, you know, obviously a lot of people criticize him for the Porzingis trade. But knowing what you've seen with Porzingis, first of all, is he ever going to be able to stay healthy?
Right.
Secondly,
right.
He did not, from I think it was just residue from the Phil Jackson regime, but he didn't want to stay with the Knicks. Like,
yeah. No, you're
there's
right.
There's a good chance you could have lost him for nothing. So I can't fault them for that. So, yeah, it's going to be interesting to see how this plays. I tell you, the summer just got so much more interesting. Here's the last thing on Durant, too. And you mentioned the Carmelo Anthony deal. Kevin Durant is better than Carmelo Anthony.
Of course.
We
he's
know
also
that.
Five now, Melo's years older,
not even
though.
Debatable. Right. Not even debatable.
Well, but even just both of them at their
no
peak,
question.
No question.
Durant
no question
about
a different
it.
Level.
No question.
However, here's the question. When Kevin Durant comes back from this likely torn Achilles, is he now Carmelo Anthony? Now, that's still great. But that's not quite what Kevin Durant was. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
That's not enough. And that's just a legitimate question. Does he come back and be great, but still not
what
he was?
That's why, Chris, like, I get the Warriors giving him the money. I could even see – I'm a Net fan. I would lean towards no, but I'm arguing with some of my fellow Net fans who say, sign Durant anyway. I see it. I don't see it with the Knicks. I mean, they're so far away that to give him that kind of money and expect him to be the 26 or 27-year-old Kevin Durant, hey, you may be right that he'll look, he still has that silky smooth jump shot. He can still be really good, but he's got to be better than really good if the Knicks are going to be transformed into what they need to be transformed into.
Yeah, one playoff series victory in his tenure with the team isn't going to cut it. You know what I mean, Chris?
Right. And look, he's taken a risk. Even before this injury, he was taking a risk to leave because he can stay and go. And let's face it, guys, if they lose this series, now that whole narrative about, oh, they don't need Durant, they're easy rings, that kind of goes out the window.
Right.
So why, if you're him, why not stay in Golden State? You still maybe be able to win another ring or two or who knows, three maybe. If you go elsewhere and you get proven to be that guy that, yeah, as great as he was, he couldn't lead a team to a championship, especially now with this injury, you know, you're taking a big risk to go anywhere else other than Golden State.
We're talking to Chris Broussard. You can see him on FS1. How do the Raptors, and a lot of attention is being given to Nick Nurse's weird, odd, ill-advised three-minute timeout up six, but the Raptors blew this game. Kyle Lowry missed a wide-open three. I'm not talking about the game-winning
shot. Draymond got his hand
laughing. I don't blame him for that one. There was one, I think they were up three at the time, wide open three, he missed it. There was a 24-second clock violation. Like, they blew the game. They had a six-point lead with 3 minutes to go. That last shot, I don't blame him for it, because you're right, Draymond got a piece of it. How did they respond to this? They were 3 minutes, Chris, from winning an NBA championship in their own building. How about the way they respond now after having a title in their hands and letting it slip away?
Well, they have shown to be mentally tough. You know, obviously Philadelphia was a tough series. They're down 2-1, down 2-0 to Milwaukee, and they lock in, and then to go to Oracle and win two games. So they have shown mental toughness. Obviously, they have some gaffes down the stretch of this game, no question. But when you look at the game, I mean, the Warriors hit 20 of 42 three-pointers, 48%. Now, to put that in context, remember when Cleveland won their lone playoff game against Golden State a couple years ago, and they hit 24 threes, the NBA record in the finals game. And that was a blitzkrieg of threes. I've never seen anything like it. Golden State hit 20. That was only four fewer, and that's the second most in the finals game. Mm. And then the Raptors only hit eight threes. So that 12 three-point gap is the second biggest in a finals game history. And the Raptors, who have been shooting 90% from three, I'm sorry, 90% from the free throw line in the first four games, they missed 6 of 27, so shot 78%. So, and they lost by a point. That's my, and Kawhi doesn't give you anything until that 2-minute stretch at the end of the game. And Pascal Siakam played poorly. So if I'm Nick Nurse, I'm saying to my team, we played horribly. To your point, they got open looks and they missed them.
Yeah.
And so they got to be feeling like if we just shoot decently, we win this game. We're NBA champions. Now, I picked Golden State to win the series. And six, obviously that can't happen. But I think they have a pretty good chance to pull this out. But there's no denying the Raptors have the edge. They're up 3-2. Game seven will be at their place. And as I said, they can point to a number of reasons why if we just do this a little bit better, we win this game.
You know, it's been a crazy finals because the home court has meant nothing. I mean,
right.
You know, and every time you think it's set up to be one way, you know, I thought for sure the Golden State's going to win game four. They don't. It's going to wrap it up now. Golden State looks done, and Toronto's going to wrap it up in game five. They don't. Now everything points to the Warriors coming back and winning game six and forcing a game seven. That's the way it looks to be at this point. So, but it hasn't been that way at all when we look at this series, Chris.
No, that's a great point. And look, it's turning into a really good series.
Oh, terrific.
Yeah, I hope we get a game seven. But Skip Bayless, I was just on with him, Undisputed. He made an interesting point that may or may not be true. But he was saying how now the Warriors players know that Kevin Durant is out. Mm. You know, and that's kind of been hovering over their hands,
right,
everybody's
right,
hands.
Right, right.
Like, is he coming back? And that can, you guys know how it is. Like, maybe there's a part of you that's like, he's coming back to save us. He's coming back to help us.
Right.
We can just hold him off till KD gets back. Well, now you know he's not coming back.
Sure.
And so does that spark them? I give them credit because when he went out in you know, 2 minutes into the second quarter, I thought it was over. Because
and they
I
responded.
Felt, not just because he wasn't great. Yeah. I thought it was going to deflate him.
Yeah. Boogie Cousins. It was DeMarcus Cousins, Chris. He stepped up. He was tremendous for those few minutes.
And Cousins scares me every time he gets the ball.
Yeah.
Especially when he's out by the three-point line.
Yeah.
He's got to stay closer to the basket and do his work there. But, yeah, it's – look, I'm sticking with my Golden State pick, and I think they got a pretty good chance. But, like I said, Toronto's got the edge.
Have you heard anything about Kawhi's free agency? It seems like he's done a very good job of keeping things quiet. Maybe it's just his personality. The only thing we've ever heard about Kawhi is – well, maybe the L.A. Clippers. I mean, would he be open to coming to New York, whether it's the Knicks or Nets?
I've always heard, and this is talking to some people close to that situation, ever since going back to, you know, his ending in San Antonio, that he just wanted to be home. Whether it was the Clippers or the Lakers, he just wanted to be in L.A. So that's what I've been told recently by that group is nothing's changed. Now, I do think Toronto now has a good chance of keeping him if they win this championship. Now, look, if he wins it, he's got two finals MVPs. He got two championships. He's on top of the world, probably viewed as the best player in the world. He could go wherever he wants. And even in Toronto, they just have to cheer him and say, hey, he had one shot and he gave us a championship.
Right.
So he'll have that freedom. But this, you can never underestimate the power of a bonding experience. And that's what he's having in Toronto. I mean, this has got to be the greatest basketball year of his life. You know, he hits the only Game 7 buzzer beater in NBA history. You've seen him actually smiling more on the court. Even though his personality is what it is and he's quiet, you have seen him kind of a little bit come into his own more, dealing with the media. He's giving longer quotes. A little bit of his personality is coming out. He's laughing a little bit more. All of that, I mean, he's got the whole, not only city, but country behind him. Drake, who's an international superstar, is there. Like, I just think that you can't underestimate the value of this experience. And maybe at the very least, it makes him say, hey, I'll stay for 2 more years or, you know, do a 1-1 and see if we can run this back and win another championship. So as far as the Knicks, look, I think out of respect, I think Steve Mills has the respect of Kawhi's group and Scott Perry. They'll get a sit down. They'll get some type of meeting or discussion. But I would put them behind an L.A. team, the Clippers, and Toronto. But, you know, you never say never. And now that things have changed with KD, maybe he'll consider it. But I just think if he leaves Toronto, it's going to be for warm weather in his home area of L.A.
All right. So, again, we're talking to Chris Broussard. All right. So I'm going to give you kind of a double-pronged question here coming as a Knicks fan. Number one, what do you think the Knicks are going to do in the offseason? And number two, how much of a factor is the owner – in people not wanting to come to the Garden? Because everybody talks about the Mecca and his nonsense and the other thing. But everybody wants to come to the Garden, but they want to come there to put 50 on the Knicks, not to play for them.
Right.
How big?
That's the thing. The right. Guys kind of tease the Knicks. That's the problem. You know, every time they come to the Garden, oh, it's the Mecca. It's the greatest place to play.
Right.
Gets the hopes up. Hey, you may come here. But that's a great question. So number one, look, guys, we talked about it, but if I'm the Knicks and Kevin Durant still wants to come, I gotta be honest. Beggars can't be choosers. He's still Kevin Durant. And you're right, we don't know. Will he be Melo in the second go round? Will he still be what he was? We don't know. But if I'm the Knicks in the position they're in, and I know, and KD's like, look, I'm going to be off this year, as you know, but I still will sign with you. I got to be honest, man. I think you got to do it.
Wow.
And then I think that's when you look at maybe moving that pick, which would be RJ Barrett, and trying to get Anthony Davis. Because, look,
that'll turn into a disaster, Chris.
I guarantee it could be the same old Knicks. It could be the same old Knicks. But I don't think you have a choice if he wants to come. So I think that could happen. As far as Dolan, it is a deterrent. And I think one of the challenges – now, look, Fizdale has the respect of players and people around the league. Scott Perry does as well, and Steve Mills has relationships throughout the league. The key, though, for the Knicks is they've got to convince people that this front office is, you know, can override the presence of Dolan. Because players are a lot more sophisticated now. And they're their own brands. And a lot of them have learned from LeBron. And they're really looking at the entire franchise. And Steve Ballmer is viewed as a great owner. With Kevin Durant, they've got a good relationship. I know the Clippers with Ballmer and Doc Rivers blew Durant away when he became a free agent and ended up going to Golden State. They had a meeting with him, the Clippers, and Durant was blown away and loved it, even though he still went to Golden State. So the ownership is an issue, and the Knicks have to convince people, look, our front office structure is together, our coaching staff is solid, and our owner has given us the power, the authority to act as we want to act. He's not involved in basketball operations. He's going to let us make decisions, and he's willing to spend money. That's how they've got to sell it, because it is a bit of a deterrent.
Yeah. Chris, excellent stuff.
Great stuff, Chris. Really appreciate it, man.
All right, guys. It's going to be interesting. Let's just watch how this thing plays out.
Yep, indeed. Absolutely.
We'll talk to you soon.
All right.
Man.
See you, man. See you.
Chris Broussard, Fox Sports NBA analyst for FS1. You can see him on some of the studio shows, Undisputed and The Herd, and he's got a radio show at 7 Eastern Time
with Rob Parker. It's called The Odd Couple.